news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Biden on Monday defended his decision to withdraw U.S. military forces from Afghanistan. Although a majority of Americans have been demanding an end to our longest war for many years, the final withdrawal can only be viewed as disastrous, as the Taliban was able to wrest control of the nation mere days after U.S. troops pulled out.
I stand squarely behind my decision. After 20 years, I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces. That's why we're still there.
In his speech to the nation, the president shared the blame on the failure of Afghanistan's security forces to fight the Taliban.
But if Afghanistan is unable to mount any real resistance to the Taliban now, there is no chance that 1 year, 1 more year, 5 more years, or 20 more years, the U.S. military boots in the ground would have made any difference.
He also placed some of the blame on the former administration.
I inherited a deal that President Trump negotiated with the Taliban. Under his agreement, U.S. forces would be out of Afghanistan by May 1, 2021, just a little over 3 months after I took office. U.S. forces had already drawn down during the Trump administration from roughly 15,500 American forces to 2,500 troops in country. There would have been no ceasefire after May 1. There was no agreement protecting our forces after May 1. There was no status quo of stability without American casualties after May 1. There was only cold reality of either following through on the agreement to withdraw our forces or escalating the conflict and sending thousands more American troops back into combat in Afghanistan, lurching into the third decade of conflict.
At least 7 people were killed at the Kabul airport as panicked crowds of Afghans tried to escape the country as the Taliban moved in. Meanwhile, a Taliban official on Tuesday said that the group had declared an amnesty across the nation. A representative of the Taliban's Cultural Commission said women could join the government, said they could continue working, although they'll have to be completely covered. Those remarks were the first public comments on how the Taliban would govern Afghanistan after moving in. Many people have stayed home since the Taliban took control on Sunday, fearing a return to Sharia law, including stonings, public executions, and denial of women's rights imposed by the group before the invasion that drove them from power after the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Criticisms of President Biden's actions blared across cable news, every channel. Although, on MSNBC, Nicole Wallace offered an interesting observation.
95% of the American people will agree with everything he just said. 95% of the press covering this White House will disagree. And for an American president to finally be completely aligned with such an overwhelming majority of what the American people think about Afghanistan is probably a tremendous relief to the American people. He also went a long way toward really fleshing out a Biden doctrine. And there are questions about whether he can achieve what he set out, but there is no equivocation. There is no lack of confidence that this is the right decision. And what he has going for him is a vast majority of Americans in both political parties.
That sounds about right. The challenge now is for the U.S. to evacuate the many thousands of Afghans who helped us during the 20-year war and occupation. On to another disaster area. The death toll from Haiti's 7.2 magnitude earthquake rose to more than 1,400 people on Monday. So far, at least 6,000 are known to be injured. Rescue efforts were threatened by Tropical Storm Grace that dumped heavy rains on some of the affected areas Monday night. The earthquake was centered about 80 miles west of the capital city of Port-au-Prince, which still hasn't recovered from a devastating 7.0 magnitude earthquake 11 years ago. And in COVID news, new cases continue rising to record highs. Per capita infection rates in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Florida are the highest in the nation. In Florida, the governor, known to residents as Governor Death Sentence, is now picking up another moniker, Regeneron Ron. He earned that because he's pushing the monoclonal antibody treatment, Regeneron, for those already infected, costing the state a lot of money, somewhere around $1,500 per dose. but he still won't recommend vaccinations to keep from catching the virus and has outlawed mask mandates and any type of vaccine passport. His actions are already proving disastrous. Less than a week into classes, Hillsborough County, that's the Tampa Bay area, now has 5,600 students and 316 employees in isolation or quarantine. The school board gathers for an emergency meeting to address the situation Wednesday afternoon. Similar situation in Texas, where local school officials are defying Governor Greg Abbott's executive order banning mask mandates. But many school districts, including Dallas County and San Antonio, are requiring that masks be worn. Texas is one of eight states with Republican governors that have passed laws barring local officials from imposing mask mandates. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is expected to announce that most vaccinated Americans will need a booster shot to keep them fully protected. All Americans who've been vaccinated, regardless of age, will be urged to get a booster 8 months after they became fully vaccinated. The boosters will likely be given starting next month. And don't forget that still brewing in the background is the big infrastructure deal. But the president's dealing with an inside Democratic Party rift as a conservative faction of nine members demand immediate action on that hard infrastructure bill, while the Progressive Caucus is standing firm, along with Nancy Pelosi, that both of the bills must come up at the same time. The House is supposed to come back early from recess next week to vote on the budget resolution, which will allow that second infrastructure bill to be written. And the nation, and a lot of the planet, is still on fire. Wildfires and droughts are ravaging the western U.S. Dry wildfire conditions are expected to continue through next month. Currently, there are 97 large fires burning in the U.S., scorching a total of 2,147,446 acres. Wow. And already more than 4 million acres of U.S. land has been scorched by fires in 2021 alone. And now this, Lake Mead, the largest reservoir in the U.S., has been pushed to historic lows by severe drought in the areas around the Colorado River, which feeds it. So the government has declared a water shortage on the river for the first time ever, triggering mandatory water consumption cuts for Arizona, Nevada, and two Mexican states that rely on the Colorado River for drinking water and irrigation. And this is just the beginning. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully supported by